Welcome to Tadeusz Kantor Specters. My name is Michał Kobiałka. Together with Małgorzata Paluch-Cybulska, we curated this exhibition. Let me offer some thoughts about Kantor's unique theatre practice, which guided us in organizing the space of this exhibition. For those of you who have not seen Tadeusz Kantor's work before, let me start by saying that Kantor, born in Wielopolskrzyńskie on April 6, 1915, and died in Kraków on December 8, 1990, was a multidisciplinary visual artist, theorist, and theatre director, and the founder of Krekotu Theatre Company. While studying painting and stage design at the Kraków Academy of Fine Arts, Kantor was introduced to symbolism, constructivism, and the Bauhaus in the period between 1933 and 39. In 1942, during the Nazi occupation, with a group of young painters, he organized the underground experimental independent theater in Kraków, where he staged Juliusz Słowacki's Balladyna in 1942 and Stanisław Wyspiański's The Return of Odysseus 1944 in private apartments. After the war, Kantor's experiments between 1956 and 1973 bracket the period in which he challenged the dominant conventions of creating or displaying art and the function of an avant-garde artist in a contemporary society. These experiments questioned the official historical narratives that had found a successful way of glossing over the unwanted and ignored sphere of reality, which unexpectedly intervenes in art. In Kantor's production of Stanisław Ignacy Witkiewicz's Cuttlefish in 1956, environment, objects, and actors were engaged in an intricate process of constituting diverse spatial formations, creating shocks, scandals, and tensions in order to unblock the audience's imagination and their thinking about tyrannical leaders. This exploration changed during the 1960s. In Informel Theatre 1961, Kantor explored matter which is freed from abiding by the laws of reality, is always changing and fluid, escapes the bondage of rational definitions. In Zero Theatre 1963, Kantor dealt with marginalized objects and environments to dismember logical plot development and to disclose the individuality of an actor by discarding illusion. In Happening Theatre 1967, Kantor drew attention to everyday realness and its potential for being a ready-made object. The Theatre of Death Manifesto 1975 articulated a shift in Kantor's theatre experiments. The productions that followed, The Dead Class 1975, Wielopole Wielopole 1980, Let the Artist Die 1985, I Shall Never Return 1988, and Today is My Birthday 1990, explored notions of memory, history, myth, and of the artist as the chronicler of the 20th century. As he said in the 1988 essay, The Real Eye, everything I have done in art so far has been the reflection of my attitude towards the events that surrounded me, towards the situation in which I have lived, of my fears, of my faith in this and not something else, of my distrust in what was to be trusted, of my skepticism, my hope. Kantor always remained faithful to his attitude of nonconformity and his unrelenting need to revise his thinking about a theater praxis. He kept on writing, editing, revising, as well as proposing new ideas, which populated his room of imagination. Here, too, at this exhibition, behind the doors, a storm and an inferno rage, as Kantor says, and the waters of the flood rise. The weak walls of our room will not save us. Important events stand behind the doors. It is enough to open them. You are invited to enter this room, this space, which according to Kantor is not a passive receptacle, but a space which doesn't have an exit or a boundary, which is receding, disappearing, or approaching omnidirectionally with changing velocity. It is dispersed in all directions, to the sides, to the middle, it ascends, caves in, spins on the vertical, horizontal, diagonal axis. It is not afraid to burst into an enclosed shape, diffuse it with its sudden jerking movement, deform its shape. Figures and objects become the function of space and its mutability. Before you enter the space, which is multi-layered, multidimensional, dynamic, and charged with energy and memories, rather than an absolute empty space, I want you to consider one more element, which is important to us, the curators, that is Cantor's new way of thinking about the function of a museum. In one of his essays, Cantor says, "At the moment of encountering a work of art, a human being sees an object which is enclosed in itself without any connection to life and which exists independently of us. We enter the sphere of the unknown and the unexplainable. These truths became known to me thanks to the art of the 20th century, which required that the shape and the function of a museum be redefined. For the essential attribute of a work of art as an object emitting a distinct energy to be perceived, a suitable space must be created, designed in such a way as to allow the object to reflect these waves of energy and transmit them to spectators. The triad, a work of art, space, spectator, has to create a new undivided whole where these three elements will create a new work of art and a new museum. Indeed, rather than being a passive spectator looking at a work of art hanging on the wall, we want you to enter this space behind the doors to encounter Cantor's objects which reflect waves of energy and transmit them to spectators, which are not chronologically placed, but create a tight network of unexpected or unanticipated relations, meanings, and associations, and which will reveal to you Cantor's inferno of the traumatic events of the 20th century. While confronted with these objects, today's specters of the past productions, we didn't want them to be seen as museum pieces, dead objects, but as part of Cantor's triad, a work of art, space, spectator, where these three elements will create a new work of art, a new museum, and a new emancipated spectator. Maybe some of the ideas which we mention in the exhibition catalog will help you to actively engage with the space and these objects. Here are some of them. Contradiction. The individual human life and universal history. Deformation and shattering of form caused by a catastrophe. Ruins. Forms madly intermingled, whirling and crisscrossing. Melancholy. Homelessness. Eternal travelers. Memory and oblivion. Oppression and tortures. Personal traumas. The artist condition. When you enter the dimly lit space, your sight begins to decipher objects coming at you from the depth of space. Here on the left, there is a table with a coffee cup and a family photograph from today's my birthday. A funeral machine, a monster grinder from the country house. A family birth machine from the dead class. A photographer's camera, machine gun, and Uncle Stasio with the hurdy-gurdy from Villopole Villopole. There, on the right, there are some ghostly images of a canon from Today's My Birthday, old books, and the school desks from the dead class. Every one of these spectral objects has its own performance history and is linked to world historical events. World War I. Or World War II. Their silence keeps the memories alive. Recall, for example, the piercing laughter of the photographer and the machine gun volley while she is taking a photograph of the soldiers departing for the front in Wielopole. Although absent here, the image of the already dead soldiers lingers in memory until another object and another memory will have your eyes. You want to walk. The platform creaks. The sound of dripping water. The silence is no more. You move forward. From the deep recesses of space, other objects emerge. The torture machine from the water can on your left, between the family birth machine and the screen on the right, catches and arrests your eye when the light from the screen is cast on it. However, its shape and contours will always depend on the image projected onto the mesh screen showing excerpts from The Dead Class, Wielopole, Wielopole, Let the Artist Die, I Shall Never Return, or Today's My Birthday. The shadows from the screen slowly creep onto the platform and finally reach the torture machine. What is the relationship between these two images? A three-dimensional object and a two-dimensional image. The object comes to life, a different life, a spectral life, which is created by the tension between it and the image currently on display. A spectral life, always changing and fluid. The image from the screen bursts into the object and deforms it with its jerky celluloid movement. Your desire to stabilize this image comes to naught by the celluloid light coming from the other screen, the one on the right, showing a different image. You are in a place of close-range vision, in haptic space, of unreconciled tensions and contradictions between you, the objects, and space, between a two-dimensional screen and a three-dimensional object, and how these tensions and contradictions imbue the objects around you with a different life. These fragments and objects not only mark the stages in the history of the Krakow 2 Theater, but are the punctum in representational reality. They rise from the scene, shoot out of it like an arrow, and pierce the spectator's sight. They are antithetical to life, as Cantor said once, and that is why they are scandalous and shocking when defined in terms of its categories. Forms madly intermingled, whirling, crisscrossing each other, one atop the other like ants in their nest. Cantor lived and walked around these objects in order to reveal their state of unrest in his performative constellation. Today, you walk along this platform experiencing their state of unrest in this performative constellation. These forms madly intermingled, whirling and crisscrossing, unsettle temporality, and slip away from both the presence of metaphysics and the presence of regulated historical time. Now these objects can be formed freely in history and in this space. As Cantor says, maybe this repetition and its creation, which is different from the original, will allow us to see our world, this original, as if we saw it for the first time. They are in it, but not necessarily of it. They are located within observable and sonorous space of this exhibition. You're caught in the light and space between the screens. The images on the screen on the left sheds light on the soldiers' uniforms hanging from the ceiling and pretending that they are alive and moving. But it is only space, or it is only air that approaches them omnidirectionally with changing velocity. And if you turn to the right, the image on the screen on the right sheds light on the ground embellage from I Shall Never Return. Cantor. Embellage. When you want to shelter and protect, to preserve, to escape the passing of time, embellage, when you want to hide something deeply, embellage. The celluloid images cast lights forward and backward, illuminating the objects, playing with them. At one moment, the cages with the politicians from Today's My Birthday leap out of the frame, walk across the platform, and illuminate the empty cages on the left. A two-dimensional celluloid world enters a three-dimensional space to create a new network of associations in a multidimensional universe of memory. Or is it a reference to Cantor's 1988 painting entitled, I Have Enough, I'm Leaving This Painting? Or maybe both. In one of his essays, Cantor wrote, a long time ago, I was fascinated by the Atlantis disaster, by the world before our world, by the only known report about it by Plato, and by Plato's opening words. That night, then everything started anew and out of nothing. Even though these words describe the opening of Silent Night, they could be used to describe Cantor's lifelong resistance to any representational form affirming life. Cantor. Now then, here on the stage, the end of the world, after a disaster, a heap of dead bodies, there are many of them, a heap of broken objects. This is all that is left. Then, according to the principles of my theater, the dead come to life and play their parts as if nothing happened. Indeed, Cantor's world after the disaster is like the emergence of another world happening inside a narrative, performative, or sonorous landscape. This was true in his theater experiments between 1944 and 1973, as well as in his productions of The Dead Class, Vilopole, Vilopole, Let the Artist Die, I Shall Never Return, and Today's My Birthday, which Cantor catalogued as the theater of personal confessions. Look around you. The cages, the machines of war, the crosses, the machine guns, the skeleton of a horse, the barricade from Let the Artist Die. It used to be populated by the actors from the Krikotu Theater. The mannequin of Cantor's father from Today's My Birthday and a photograph of Cantor's work, My Mother's Portrait from 1976. Cantor writes, from a nylon bag, he took something dark and earth-colored. Black soil was stuck to the skull. And there was also some rotten shreds of a dress. That was my mother. A heap of dead bodies. A heap of broken objects. You turn around. You look toward the entrance or the exit, and you realize that the narrative you might have created is incomplete. The excerpts on the screen, which are coincidental and not synchronized, start shedding light and revealing objects which you did not notice before. On the screen on the left, there is now a sequence from I Shall Never Return about the Grand Embellage. A celluloid cross at its top matches the cross on the other side of the screen where the Grand Embellage is flickering in a soft light. On the screen on your right, there is a sequence from The Dead Class casting light on the school desks in the corner and the photograph of school children, which most probably escaped your gaze when you entered the space. Maybe since there are many different fragments from Vilopole, Vilopole, The Artist Die, or Today's My Birthday, playing at the instance when you cast your sight around, different objects materialize. In front of you, a perfect activity of perception. The anguish of perceivedness. These hollowed out objects, a chair, a table, a funeral machine, a family birth machine, school desks, crosses, bio-objects, a ground embellage, a photograph, and imprints impressed deeply in the immemorial past, break away from our experience of the world. Resisting the laws which gave them stage life in the past, these objects are no longer gathered into a coherent landscape, but are scattered around in space. They don't bring about a harmonious synthesis to spotlight an empowering ending. Today, we might see them as useless objects, which indeed lost their function in Cantor's theater, but not their past. A tragic past. In bringing Cantor's objects filled with the memories of difficult past back to life, we are asking questions about our uncertain future. These forms, madly intermingled, whirling and crisscrossing, create a landscape after a disaster. Their meanings and shapes are stacked and repeated. They unsettle and disturb linear temporality. We can see how compressed they are. And in their entangled forms, we begin to decipher the forces which govern our time. And the last thing. Important events stand behind the doors. It is enough to open them. Thank you.